Molly Humboldt was bent over a serving table at the far end of the room. Between her and the bomb were several heavy chairs, the 4-inch-thick tabletop, and the 4-foot-wide leg at the end of the table. All those barriers protected her from the blast wave that killed Jelly Brown and blew out the windows. The blast did flatten her, and broken glass rained on her stunned, upturned face. She didn't actually hear the bomb go off, had no sense of that, and remembered Pi screaming orders, but she really wasn't herself until she woke up in the hospital in Grand Rapids and found her face and upper body wrapped in bandages. The bandages covered her eyes, so she couldn't see anything, and she couldn't hear anything except the drone of words and a persistent, loud, high-pitched ringing. For a moment, she thought she might be dead and buried, except that she found she could move her hands, and when she did, she felt the bandages. And she blurted, "God help me. Where am I? Am I blind?" There were some word-like noises, but she couldn't make out the individual words, and then after a confusing few seconds, somebody took a bandage pad off her left eye. She could see okay with that eye anyway, and found herself looking at a nurse, and then what she assumed was a doctor. The doctor spoke to her, and she said, "I can't hear." And he nodded and held up a finger, meaning, "One moment." And then he came back with a yellow legal pad and a wide-tipped marker and wrote in oversized block letters, "You were injured in an explosion. Do you understand?" She said, "Yes, I do." He held up a finger again and wrote, "You have temporarily lost your hearing because of the blast." Another page. "You have many little cuts from glass fragments." Turn the page. "Your other eyelid is badly cut, but not the eye itself." Another page. "Your vision should be fine." Another. "You also suffered a minor concussion and perhaps other impact injuries." Finally, "Your vital signs are excellent." "What time is it?" she asked. The light in the room looked odd. 5 o'clock. You've been coming and going for almost 8 hours. That's the concussion. There was some more back and forth, and finally she asked, "Was it a gas leak?" The doctor wrote, "The police believe it was a bomb. They want to talk to you as soon as you are able." "What about Jelly? She was in the room with me." The doctor, his expression grim, wrote, "I'm sorry. She wasn't as lucky as you." More or less the same thing happened all over again 3 weeks later and 450 miles to the west in Butternut Falls, Minnesota. Gilbert Kingsley, the construction superintendent, and Mike Sullivan, a civil engineer, arrived early Monday morning at the construction trailer at a new Pi-Mart site just inside the Butternut Falls city limits. Kingsley, unfortunately for him, had the key and walked up the metal steps to the trailer door, while Sullivan yawned into the back of his hand 3 steps below. Kingsley turned and said, "If we can get the grade—" He was rudely interrupted by the bomb. Parts of the top half of Kingsley's body were blown right back over Sullivan's head, while the lower half, and what was left of the top, plastered itself to Sullivan and knocked him flat. Sullivan sat up, then rolled onto his hands and knees, and then pushed up to his knees and scraped blood and flesh from his eyes. He saw a man running toward him from the crew's parking area, and off to his left, a round thing that he realized had Kingsley's face on it, and he started retching and turned and saw more people running. He couldn't hear a thing, and never again could hear very well. But, like Sally Humboldt, he was alive to tell the tale. The ATF, its full name seldom used, was the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, instantly got involved. An ATF supervisor in Washington called the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension and asked for a local liaison in Butternut Falls. The request got booted around, and at an afternoon meeting at BCA headquarters in St. Paul, Lucas Davenport, a senior agent, said, "Let's send that fucking Flowers up there. He hasn't done anything for us lately." "He's off today," somebody said. Davenport said, "So what?" Chapter 2. Virgil Flowers was sitting on a bale of hay on a jacked-up snowmobile trailer behind Bob's Bad Boy Barbecue and Bar